Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, December 9th. Coming up today, more details about a Kent murder investigation from the 80s as police make renewed calls for information. Locals turn out to get their first look at plans for a new lorry park, and a woman who survived a rare childhood cancer shares the story of how she became a paediatric nurse. But first, taking a look at our top story today, the families of young children who were physically abused at a Kent nursery say they're relieved the woman responsible has now been found guilty. Nicola joins me on the podcast with some more details. First of all, Nick, can you give us a little bit of background about this case?
Yes, well, this all dates back to when Dunuska Puglia was working as a teaching assistant at a special needs school in Sittingbourne. Between September 2021 and July 2023, she's accused of subjecting four pupils to acts of physical abuse that included pinching, hitting and spitting at them. The court heard how her conduct in the classroom left the youngsters in pain and with cuts, red marks and bruises. Some would even flinch if she approached them. Puglia denied the allegations and went on trial at Maidstone Crown Court.
And can you tell me a bit more about what the court heard while she was on trial?
Well, the court heard on one occasion Puglia was spat at by a child and responded by spitting back. She then took hold of the youngster's hand and hit them in the face with it before later telling her colleague who'd witnessed the incident that she had lost her temper. But in denying all the accusations, Puglia said the incidents either didn't happen as alleged and that any physical handling was done to guide a child in an activity or as the last resort, in keeping with her training and the need to keep pupils and staff safe. And she denied ever losing control or her temper.
And she's now been found guilty.
Yes, the 46-year-old from White Satin Close in I Wade was convicted of child cruelty by a jury and will be sentenced in February. The verdict comes as a big relief to the parents of those children who say the case has consumed their lives for more than 2 years. One parent who lives on Sheppey believes the abuse has had a long-lasting effect on her child, who's appeared to regress and struggles to trust people. She added, "These are kids that can't speak up for themselves and have to tell their parents what's going on through their behaviour and not with their voices." She added she hopes the verdict prompts a shake-up of safeguarding procedures at the school.
Thanks, Nick. You can read all the details of this case by clicking on the story on the homepage at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Police have been telling us more about a cold case dating back to the 80s as they launch a fresh appeal for information. They're hoping someone will come forward with information that will help solve a woman's murder. Here's Detective Inspector Lee Neals.
43 years ago, on the 8th of December 1982, an 85-year-old lady by the name of Esme Hode was found dead at her home address in Havelock Road in Tunbridge, and it was quickly established by the attending officers that due to the injuries that Esme had suffered, that she had been murdered. So now Kent Police are launching a fresh appeal for information that can lead to the identity of those responsible for the murder. The investigation at the time focused on two individuals. It was a male and a female in their late 30s or early 40s who were believed to be collecting antiques from around the local area, and we believe that these two individuals may have attended Esme's home address prior to the murder. A crucial piece of evidence that was found from the scene was a footprint of a banana boot. So this was a known brand at the time, and it's actually a footprint of the sole of this shoe or boot. So that is a key piece of evidence. The independent charity Crime Stoppers is offering a reward of up to £20,000 to anyone providing information to Crime Stoppers that leads to the arrest and conviction of those responsible for this murder. There is someone out there, I have no doubt, that has information about this murder which can help us find the persons responsible for this terrible crime and bring them to justice.
You can contact Crime Stoppers anonymously on 0800 555 111 or go directly to Kent Police if you have relevant information. A hearing's been told a number of MDMA pills were seized from a house in Chatham following the death of a Rochester man at a gig in Margate. 20-year-old Regan Baxter from Chattenden had the drug in his system when he died after attending the Drum and Bass Festival at Dreamland in June. Analysis of his phone found he'd discussed buying drugs. A suspect was arrested arrested and is on bail. A coroner recorded a conclusion of misadventure. Police investigating the theft of a large nutcracker Christmas decoration in Sheerness have charged a suspect. The statue was taken from Broadway on Friday afternoon and is still missing. A 39-year-old man from the town is due in court in February. Another man who was questioned has been released without charge. A house in Northfleet linked to drug use and antisocial behaviour has been boarded up by police. Officers say people living near the building on Wycliffe Row have been blighted by the activity there. It's now an offence for anyone to go there for the next 3 months. Two puppies that were stolen during a burglary have been reunited with their mother, but another two are still missing. The King Charles Spaniels were taken from a property near Bury St Edmunds, and the mum dog, Mabel, was later found dumped in a garden in Waldham near Rochester. Two of the puppies have now been discovered by the side of the road in Sidcup, and a search is continuing for the others.
Kent Online News.
Crews have been called to tackle a fire that broke out in a bedroom in Edenbridge. Fire engines and a height vehicle were sent to tackle the blaze on Cedar Drive yesterday afternoon. No one was hurt and the cause is under investigation. Now, the MP for Tunbridge Wells says he's written to the business secretary calling for government support for companies impacted by ongoing water issues. 24,000 properties were affected by an outage 11 days ago. Supplies have now been restored, but people are still having to boil their water to make it safe to drink. Mike Martin says ministers have now made it clear to South East Water that compensation should go beyond the minimum regulatory standards. Trains in Kent could soon be getting a rebrand as the new logo has been revealed for Great British Railways. The design, which is inspired by the colours of the Union flag, is due to be rolled out next spring. Southeastern is one of seven major train operators that have already been brought back under public ownership. The man in charge of regenerating Whitstable and Herne Bay says he doesn't necessarily want to copy what's been done in Folkestone and Margate. Councillor Chris Cornell says coastal towns in the Canterbury district have different characters and attract different types of tourists. He's now working with residents to develop a strategy. Final plans are due to be announced in February. A Kent woman who survived a rare childhood cancer has been telling us how it inspired her to become a paediatric nurse. Demi Lawson-Wood from Tunbridge Wells was diagnosed with neuroblastoma when she was just 6 years old in 2004. She says the care she received from hospital staff became an inspiration for her own career. Demi's been speaking to reporter Davina Jethwa.
Do you know what? I think it happened when I was probably going through treatment, because I had such lovely memories of my nurses at the Royal Marsden. You know, I saw them so often for a couple of years, every day most of the time, and I have wonderful memories of them. And I think it kind of captured the type of care that I wanted. I think I kind of held them in such regard, kind of angel-like. I thought, how wonderful if I could do the same thing one day. So I always had it in my mind that this is what I want to do. And I remember being 12 or 13 and looking up what university I was going to study children's nursing at and what hospital that was going to be with. So I remember it was London South Bank University, and I was going to train with Great Ormond Street, and it was always that throughout the years, and that ended up being where I did train and where I which hospital I trained at. So it happened from such an early age, but I think it was obviously that environment that I was introduced to at such an early age, and it had that impact on me that I wanted to kind of give back almost. Yeah.
Brilliant. And obviously you've achieved some other things. I've got them in front of me, sorry. Obviously a marathon, was it? And a half marathon. And then also you won an award as a student nurse. So you've done a lot sort of, you know, in these last 20 years. Is, you know, sort of always raising that awareness a really important thing to you?
Yes, I think so. And I think my family has always described me as somebody just, I've always got to be doing something else. There's always something I could be doing. And for so many years, you know, I didn't do any advocating. You know, I was very young, and your teenage years, you just kind of, you know, you don't want to be seen much. You want to be following the crowd. So I remember, and then it wasn't until I started getting a little older that I got introduced to a couple of children's charities, specifically with neuroblastoma. So the Neuroblastoma UK and the Solve Kids Cancer. And I've done a lot of charitable work with them, such as conferences and things like that. But yeah, so I just say, yeah, I've always been somebody that has to do more. And I think I wanted to push the limits of what I could do. You know, I've been, there's a lot of long-term effects that happen when you have these sorts of treatments, especially as a child, you're still growing and, you know, the impact it has on your body. Nobody really knows what it might be like as you turn into an adult. So I think for me, I wanted to push those boundaries of what I could do, you know, and I feel like I've been able to achieve so many things that I feel grateful for, you know. A couple of years ago, I trekked Everest Base Camp, and that's just something I never thought I'd be able to do. And of course, it was hard, but I think everybody finds those sorts of things hard as well, you know. And I just think I feel like I should prove to everybody, you know, and to myself that actually I can do all these things despite my past, and also kind of hold all those children that I was treated alongside who didn't make it. I feel like I'm almost kind of living for them as well. So I feel like I've, you know, always pushed myself to do new things and, you know, push the boundaries.
The 27-year-old is now an advocate for neuroblastoma awareness.
Kent Online News.
Almost 150 people have turned up to see plans for a new lorry park near Dover. Signs opposing the project were put up outside Hoffham Village Hall and on surrounding streets as a consultation exhibition took place. The idea is to build a facility with room for 600 HGVs in a bid to ease disruption if there are issues crossing the channel. Robert Warnock is a local farmer and opposed to the idea.
What three things do we need to survive as human beings on this planet? We need food, we need water, and we need shelter. Now, I've looked around this presentation today by GSE, and not one slide does it mention farming or the loss of farmland or the loss of food production. This country, the UK, is only 52% self-sufficient in food, which means we are importing 48% of the food we eat. And this scheme that GSE are proposing, along with other schemes that they're proposing, and along with all the other developers in this country, are eating up 25,000 acres of farmland a year. Now, how do you think that's going to impact our food security? It's only going to be going down, not up. It's a disgusting use of good grade 2/3 farmland. And there's plenty of land in the local area that's grade 4 or 5 where this facility could be built.
Luke Mullaney is Development Director at GSC Group.
We're looking at replicating the facilities we've got at Ashford. So we're looking at replicating the facilities we've got at Ashford and providing a 600 space truck stop, obviously directly accessed off the A20. In terms of, you know, why we're trying to do this, obviously Dover being one of the busiest roll-on roll-off ports in the world, you know, huge amounts of HGV traffic come through this port every single day, and there's a need in excess of 1,000 trucks, you know, that have nowhere to park every single night. You know, we are determined to provide them with somewhere to park.
How can you explain this to the people of Hoffman with this opposition?
Yeah, there's obviously a lot of emotion in the room today. Hoffman is obviously the nearest settlement, so obviously they are directly impacted by this. I think in terms of the issue as a whole, it is an issue that impacts the wider Dover district. You know, what we can say is that we will do everything we can to mitigate the impacts on the neighbouring villages, but it's also something that has the potential to improve the lives of other people in the district every single day, particularly those who, you know, experience disruption going in and out of Dover, and those who work in the wider Dover district.
The consultation runs until next month. Plans have been put in to change a former manor house in Boxley from offices into a wedding venue. The Grade 2 listed Boxley House on the street dates back to the 17th century and has previously been used as a house, teaching campus and hotel. Travel agents The Lotus Group owns the property, which is set in 15 acres. There are calls for improved safety measures at a roundabout in Chollock after a teenage girl was injured in a crash. A car and lorry collided near the Stag Pub on Canterbury Road before veering into Taylan Briggs, who just stepped off a bus nearby. She was taken to hospital with minor injuries. The 17-year-old's been speaking to reporter Millie Bowles right near to where the incident happened.
I was just walking around, just gone off the bus. I was walking on the pavement on the grass, and I heard a really loud noise, and tires, and I turn around and I saw a Range Rover coming for me. And I tried to run a little bit, and I was still struck just on the front of the car. And then I was dragged up only like a tiny bit by the car, and then yeah.
And what injuries did you have after the crash?
So it was thought that I had a broken femur, but luckily that wasn't the case, and it was just a little sprain to the knee and just some bruising, but that was it.
And do you think that this roundabout is safe?
I don't think that this roundabout is safe. I mean, look what happened on Tuesday. There were two crashes in a day on the roundabout, and one of them obviously hit me, so.
And what do you think could be done to make the roundabout safer? Is it the crossings or?
I think that they could add some barriers for protection for the, or some bollards or something for protection for pedestrians. And I think that, I'm not sure, they could just, there's a lot that they could improve on the roundabout. With crossings as well, there's blind spots.
Crash barriers were installed at the site in 2020. KCC say they are reviewing the circumstances of the crash.
Kent Online News.
She's been portrayed on screen by the likes of Natalie Dormer and Natalie Portman, but now an exhibition in Kent is hoping to reveal what Anne Boleyn really looked like. It's going to be at her childhood home of Hever Castle and will bring together a number of portraits from different times in history. The second wife of Henry VIII died almost 500 years ago. The collection will go on show in February. A list has been put together of some of the best decorated houses in Kent this Christmas. Many of the owners have put up lights and installations to raise money for charity. You can see pictures by following Kent Online on socials. Young people in Folkestone Hythe are being given the chance to tell bosses what their priorities are for the area. A new group of students have joined the council's youth forum. They've raised issues around the refurb of the Lower Lees Coastal Park and solar farms planned for Romney Marsh. And Becky Hill is going to be performing at a brand new festival in Kent. She'll be at the St Lawrence Cricket Ground on August the 8th for Canterbury Summertime Live. Organisers are promising a huge all-day lineup, which includes Madness. Full details are yet to be announced.
Kent Online Sports.
Briefly, taking a look at football now, and Gillingham's Bradley Dack has been nominated for the League 2 Player of the Month Award for November. He's been praised for his contribution at both ends of the pitch, scoring twice and making two goal line clearances. The winner will be announced on Friday. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can choose the subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.